Over the past few years, the White Council had come to realize that someone on the inside was feeding information to the vampires. A lot of people died because of the traitor, but he, or she, had never been identified. Given how much the Council in general, and the Wardens in particular, loved me, the ensuing paranoia fest had kept my life from getting too boring, especially after I'd been dragooned into joining the Wardens myself as part of the war effort. So why was Morgan here, asking for help from me? Call me crazy, but my suspicious side immediately put forward the idea that Morgan was trying to sucker me into doing something to get me into major hot water with the Council again. Hell, he'd tried to kill me that way once, several years ago. But logic simply didn't support that idea. If Morgan wasn't really in trouble with the Council, then I couldn't get into trouble for hiding him from a pursuit that didn't exist. Besides, his injuries said more about his sincerity than any number of words could. They had not been faked. He was actually on the lam. Until I found out more about what was going on, I didn't dare go to anyone for help. I couldn't very well ask my fellow wardens about Morgan without it being painfully obvious that I'd seen him, which would only attract their interest. And if the Council was after Morgan, then anyone who helped him would become an accomplice to the crime and draw heat of his own. I couldn't ask anyone to help me. Anyone else, I corrected myself. I'd had little option but to call Butters in, and frankly, the fact that he was not at all involved in the supernatural world would afford him some insulation from any consequences that might arise from his complicity. Besides which, Butters had earned a little good credit with the White Council the night he'd helped me prevent a family-sized order of necromancers from turning one of their number into a minor god. He'd saved the life of at least one warden, two, if you counted me, and was in far less danger than anyone attached to the community would be. Me, for example. Man, my head was killing me. Until I knew more about what was going on, I really couldn't take any intelligent action, and I didn't dare start asking questions for fear of attracting unwanted attention. Rushing into a headlong investigation would be a mistake, which meant that I would have to wait until Morgan could start talking to me. So I stretched out on my couch to do some thinking, and began focusing on my breathing, trying to relax the headache away and clear my thoughts. It went so well that I stayed right there doing it for about 6 hours, until the late dusk of a Chicago summer had settled on the city. I didn't fall asleep. I was meditating. You're going to have to take my word for it. I woke up when Mouse let out a low, guttural sound that wasn't quite a bark, but was considerably shorter and more distinct than a growl. I sat up and went to my bedroom to find Morgan awake. Mouse was standing next to the bed, leaning his broad, heavy head on Morgan's chest. The wounded man was idly scratching Mouse's ears. He glanced aside at me and started to sit up. Mouse leaned harder and gently flattened Morgan to the bed again. Morgan exhaled in obvious discomfort and said, in a croaking, dry voice,
"I take it I'm undergoing mandatory bed rest."
"Yeah," I said quietly. "You were banged up pretty bad. The doctor said that walking on that leg would be a bad idea." Morgan's eyes sharpened.
"Doctor?"
"Relax, it was off the books. I know a guy." Morgan grunted. Then he licked cracked lips and said,
"Is there anything to drink?"
I got him some cold water in a sports bottle with a big straw. He knew better than to guzzle. He sipped at it slowly. Then he took a deep breath, grimaced like a man about to intentionally put his hand in a fire, and said,
"Thank you."
"Oh, shut up," I said, shuddering. "Neither of us wants that conversation." Maybe I imagined it, but it looked like he relaxed slightly. He nodded and closed his eyes again. "Don't go back to sleep yet," I told him. "I still have to take your temperature." It would be awkward.
"God's beard, yes," Morgan said, opening his eyes.
I went and got my thermometer, one of the old-fashioned ones filled with mercury. When I came back, Morgan said,
"You didn't turn me in."
"Not yet," I said. "I'm willing to hear you out." Morgan nodded, accepted the thermometer, and said,
"Alaron Lafortier is dead."
He stuck the thermometer in his mouth, presumably to attempt to kill me with the suspense. I fought back by thinking through the implications instead.